Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Yes, it is, and welcome to Law Talk. I am Attorney John Matulis. My pleasure in hosting these Saturday afternoon get-togethers, which are also up on the station website as podcasts. So if you miss one of these programs, or if you're talking to somebody and mention something you heard that they might be interested in, you can find it right there. We're going to be here until 1 o'clock, and then it's pet talk, and that is the way it works here on these Saturday afternoon help blocks on WTIC News Talk 1080. This program is designed to give you the legal information that you need to help you navigate your way around all of the laws and rules and regulations that are out there waiting for all of us and sometimes waiting to trap us. So that is the purpose of this program, and the best way that we can help you is by taking your phone calls and answering your questions, giving you some insight over the air, since when you do it that way, you're allowing us to help a whole bunch of other people that are interested in the exact same issue. So as Mr. Announcer Man said, the way that you do that is phoning us here at the studio. That's 860-522-9842, 860-522-WTIC. As always, we have combed through recently released court decisions here in Connecticut. We've selected some that we think are interesting, may be extremely valuable to some of you who may have similar issues, and hopefully a little bit entertaining also. So let me give you a heads up on what we're going to be doing in the hour, and it looks like this. First story, Anne falls down the stairs at her home because her hired caregiver was inattentive. Anne, unfortunately, dies of her injuries. Well, her estate sues the home care agency. The home care agency says, it's not liable. You signed a contract holding us harmless if you got hurt, remember? Well, what does the court do with that? And what is the public policy argument that pops up in this case anyway? This is an issue that some of you may very well encounter, and we're going to tell you exactly what happens when we get to that shortly. The second one, we're taking a trip down to Long Island Sound. We can call this one beach law, okay? It has to do with easements over property owned by people abutting Long Island Sound. It has to do with the definition of what a beach actually is. The ultimate question, can I cross over my neighbor's waterfront property to get to the beach or not? And we'll tell you what a judge decided just last month on that exact same issue. Okay, we're going to follow that one up with one that you could caption Trouble in the Family. Papa lends son and daughter-in-law some money to buy a house. The house is in Greenwich. The amount of money he lends them is seven figures, okay? They don't pay him back. Papa sues. And the son says, hey, Pop, I've got no defense. Judgment can enter against me. The daughter-in-law says, I'm getting schnookered. There's some kind of collusion going on here. We'll see what happened in that case, and we'll see a very, very important takeaway for all of you listening. Finally, if we have time to get to it, we're going to visit the housing court for a recent decision where a tenant one in a summary process action intended to evict that tenant under grounds that just really make you scratch your head. So that is the lineup for today. Those are the carefully curated cases that we've selected. As always, your phone calls are most welcome. It's better to call earlier in the hour than later so that we can give you the time that your call deserves. A couple of weeks ago, we had a whole slew of calls in the last 10 minutes, and we really weren't able to give everybody as much help as we would have liked. So that's the story. The phone number, 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. So let's start off with the story about poor Anne, okay? Anne is a senior. She has some issues, and she hires a home health care agency to provide an aide. Now, this aide is giving her non-medical care. Well, the aide is inattentive and falls down a flight of stairs. She gets badly injured, and in fact, she ends up passing away from those injuries. So an estate is opened, and her executor sues the home care agency, alleging that the aid that you provided us was negligent, and that negligence in being inattentive to Anne led to the injuries that killed her. So the home health agency says, well, hold on just a minute, okay? We're not liable. Well, why is that? They raised several defenses, and these are the reasons why we're going to discuss this, because this is important to know. The first one is, well, the caregiver wasn't our employee. She was an independent contractor. And so, therefore, we're not responsible for the acts or omissions of the independent contractor. Okay? Now, that one is something that you're likely to find in other settings also. If you hire a contractor to do work on your home, you may find that the people that show up aren't employees of that contractor. They may be independent contractors that are being paid to do a particular job. So that's a little bit different, but that's one reason why this story has quite a bit of applicability. Okay, then there's a couple of other special defenses that the home health agency raises. And it says, basically, hey, remember that contract that you signed when you hired us to provide the services for you? Well, gee, if you go back and look at that, you're going to be reminded. It says that you waive the right to hold us responsible for any negligence. And then another part of it says that if we are nonetheless responsible, your damages are limited to what you paid us over the last 3 months, which is small recompense for what's basically a wrongful death lawsuit. So we've got these issues, and the judge had to deal with all of these issues, and Judge Medina in Danbury did that, and we're going to tell you exactly how that happened. We're going to have to take a break in a minute, and so we're going to come back and tell you what that is, how that was handled after the break. But I'll tell you now the takeaways. If you are a patient of a home health care services agency, or if you're a person who hires somebody to provide services, even in the construction case phase, okay? And if there's a problem with what the workers do or fail to do, the fact that they may be independent contractors may come up to be an issue. So this piece of law from Judge Medina is going to be very helpful to you if that happens, okay? But we're going to get to that, and we're going to get to your calls and also to the other cases that we previewed just in a moment or two. In the meantime, this is the time in the show where we're told we have to take a break. So I'll just let you know that you're listening to WTIC News Talk 1080. That's WTIC.com. And yes, we are streaming audio on the net. So even if you are outside the considerable range of this 50,000-watt radio station, if you can get on the internet anywhere on this planet, you can do it, WTIC.com, and follow the prompt to listen live, and you're with us. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and we'll be back with a story of what happened in the case of the estate of Anne versus this particular home care service agency right after this.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
And here's to you, Mr. Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know.
Oh, does that bring back memories? It's Simon and Garfunkel with the soundtrack from Mrs. Robinson. I think that was circa 1968. Anyway, you're listening to Law Talk here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Steve's got a question about irrevocable trust, which we're going to get to in just a minute. We have a line or two open for your phone call also at 860-522-9842. That's 860-522-WTIC. Before we do that, we're going to tell you what happened with this case where Anne basically fell down the stairs, died of her injuries. Her estate sues the home health care agency that provided the attendant who wasn't attentive and led to these injuries. Remember, they raised the defense that, well, she's not our employee. She's an independent contractor, so you can't hold us liable. Well, the judge basically said the following. He said, okay, that agency has the option under Connecticut law to structure its business, decide whether it's going to provide services through employees or independent contractors. He said, but the court concludes that Connecticut has a societal expectation. Home care services are going to be provided, and if it's for a business who's providing them for a fee, that they're going to be provided in a reasonably safe manner. Any defense premised on the fact the provider may obtain immunity by the contract it uses or the category how it chooses to categorize the people providing the services is inconsistent with that, and it violates public policy. So the takeaway on this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is that if there's ever a contract thrown in your face that contains provisions that may violate public policy, and this is one of them, don't think that the black and white words in the contract dispose of the issue. In this case, the independent contractor issue is an overlay on top of that. But if the party against whom you have the claim shrugs his, her, or its shoulders and says, oh, that was an independent contractor, you have to go after them. You can't hold us liable, even though we furnished them. That's not the end of the story. Okay, so that is the takeaway. We'll talk a little bit more about the public policy part of that, but we're going to get to Steve on the phone right now. Hi, Steve. You're on Law Talk, and thanks for holding on. Tell us how we can help you.
Hi, John. Thank you very much for taking my call. John, I have two adult children, and one of them has a disability, and my wife and I set up our wills, and we set up a special needs trust for our daughter with a disability. All of our financial accounts where you can name a beneficiary, we have named her special needs trust as the beneficiary and thought we were in good shape. And then not too long ago, we spoke to another attorney who felt that we really needed a revocable living trust and that we were not, we being my wife and I, were not adequately protected, and that our special needs daughter was not adequately protected. We never could wrap our head around that. We could never really accept or determine what she meant by not being adequately protected. Currently, we're just looking at updating our current wills, POAs, and our daughter's special needs trust, and we think we'll be all right. I'd like your opinion on that, and I have one other item. We were also told that we should write like a quality of life letter. In other words, once we've passed, what, how do we expect our daughter to be taken care of? She is her own guardian. We'd like her to live as independently as possible. We'd like her to use supportive decision making. But beyond that, I don't know what else should go in the letter. And I'm looking for your help, please.
Well, Steve, you've asked some excellent questions, and there are two or three subparts of those. So we'll try to unpack it, and we'll see if we can't deal with them one at a time. For the benefit of some of our listeners, a special needs trust is a trust which is designed so that the beneficiary's eligibility for public benefits is not going to be affected in a bad way if she inherits money or has property in her own name. And Steve, you'd agree that that's a pretty good shorthand description of the special needs trust, right?
I totally agree.
Okay. Now, the business about the special needs trust and your own personal revocable trust are two separate issues. So we'll finish on the special needs trust first. These documents have to be drafted extremely carefully. And the reason for that is that the trustee has to be instructed that they are not to make available to the beneficiary, in this case, your special needs daughter, any funds whatsoever if doing so is going to impair her eligibility for the public benefits. And the properly drafted ones are pretty detailed and go into quite a bit of detail on that. If I may ask, Steve, who is the present trustee of the daughter's special needs trust?
It would be a co-trustee, which would be my daughter's brother,
okay.
and the attorney that drafted the documents.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit unusual, but it's not, and so far I haven't heard anything that makes me too concerned about that. I don't know why they feel it needs to be modified or updated or refreshed. Have they given you any reasons why her special needs trust needs to be in any fashion amended or changed?
I think that was a liberty on my part. I think definitely we need to update our POAs and our wills. But I think you're correct. The trust could probably stay exactly as it is.
Okay. So as long as and these have to be watched periodically by lawyers who pay close attention to this, because if the state changes its rules or its guidelines about what may disqualify somebody from public benefits, then that would have to be changed. But I think that you've got people that are obviously pretty serious about doing this. Now, the business about a trust for you and your wife, we've had probate judges on Law Talk over the years, and one of the questions is, well, do I need a trust? In fact, there's even a joke in the business. It's a cartoon that says, well, my neighbor's got a trust. Shouldn't I have one also? So here's the answer. I remember a probate judge gave this specifically to a listener. He said, what is the purpose that you want to achieve with the special needs trust? For example, most of them are revocable, so they're tax neutral. There won't be any tax savings whatsoever using a revocable trust. What is the, now they said this was to protect you further. What is it they want to protect you against? Are you in business or are you in a line of work or a profession where some disgruntled person may sue you, or are they afraid that you're going to injure somebody in a car accident? What is their big concern?
None of the above. The only one I could rationalize is the car accident scenario. But my wife and I are both very, very good drivers, and we also have an umbrella policy, so we're well insured. So I can't connect with what the lawyer was telling us. And it was a free consult, and we got into the weeds a little bit, but I didn't leave the office, and neither did my wife, feeling that we needed a revocable living trust. We felt we were okay with our wills. The only other thing I've heard is, if you have out-of-state property or property in two states, then you should have a revocable living trust.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, and it varies from state to state. But, for example, in Massachusetts, a lot of folks that are from out of state who may own a home there or on Cape Cod or in the Berkshires or something, it has to do with creating a limited liability company so that you're, in effect, turning real property into personal property, and then the trust owns the membership interests in the LLC. But that's a little bit complicated. If you have real property in a different state, whether it's Massachusetts or Florida or any other place like that, it's probably very important to check with local counsel there to make sure that what you're doing harmonizes with what's being done for you at home. But other than that, I mean, the revocable trust, the assets in it bypass the probate process, and so it keeps it out of the reach of people that may wish to challenge your will or do something of that sort, and it turns it into what would be referred to as a lifetime transfer contest. And that's a little bit different. So, Steve, I don't know if I've been helpful or not, but that music means that I'm going to have to break for news shortly. So we've touched upon the special needs trust business, and it sounds like that may not need to be changed. The business about your own revocable trust, I think you need a better understanding of why it's being recommended. If you'd like to discuss it further and can hold on, stay on the phone and we'll pick it up after the break, okay? And if not, I'll understand. So I'm going to hit hold and it'll be up to you. Thanks, Steve. Okay, you're listening to Law Talk. It's WTIC News Talk 1080.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
There is our theme song bumping us back into the second half of Law Talk. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. If you got a legal question, a legal comment, delighted to hear from you at 860-522-WTIC. That is 860-522-9842. We are only here until 1 o'clock, so if you're thinking about giving us a call, better now than later. That'll allow us to give you the time that you're entitled to. Let's go back to Steve, who is on hold. And Steve, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
are you there?
Excellent. Yes, I am. I think you might be listening to the radio instead of the telephone because there's a little bit of a delay, so stick with me here. So we talked about this this special needs trust for your daughter. We started talking about the recommendation that you have a revocable trust for yourselves. And as I mentioned, the advice from a probate judge that had been on the show previously was with all respect to all of the folks that are out there trying to sell revocable trusts to people, what is the goal you expect it to accomplish? Now, we've already talked about the fact that most of them, the revocable ones, are tax neutral. They will not save any tax dollars. So this one here, we started talking about whether or not it would protect assets from any sort of a claim. You pointed out that while you and your wife are both careful drivers, I think the real key here is, are you amply insured? And you told us that you had an umbrella policy, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. The lawyer who's recommending this revocable trust, I would suggest that you ask him or her, them if you prefer, exactly what the particular goal or the objective is and see what it is that they say. And if you're not completely satisfied with the answer, I'm just not sure that you need one. Now, some folks truly do. For example, it introduces an element of privacy into somebody's affairs that is not present if you die owning assets. We have estates in our office where somebody dies with an estate, a probate estate, that's about $200,000. The probate estate is publicly available, but the trust had another $1.8 million in it, and that one is private and is not publicly available. So these are examples of things for which people sometimes want to do these, but I have to tell you that I am leery about lawyers who push them aggressively, and we think that it should be done to take care of the client's needs and desires, not the lawyer's interest in selling you a trust. So I hope that's helpful, and it's time for me to stop talking and see what your next question was, Steve.
Just a point, if I understand it correctly, with our wills and all of our financial assets allowing us to specify our daughter's special needs trust, the only thing left that would have to go through probate is our primary residence. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and even if you put your primary residence into, you're not going to put that into a special needs trust, I don't think. You're probably going to just put that into another trust. It's still not going to avoid probate completely because, now this gets a little bit wonky, so bear with me. There's what's called an inchoate lien for probate court fees and for unpaid estate taxes, if any. So even if it's in a trust, if the trustee goes to sell that house, after somebody has died, after the owner, the settlor has died, they still got to go through the probate court for that process anyway. So claims that you can avoid probate by using revocable trusts are at best partially true. And I personally think that too many people hear the business about avoid probate and that the people selling these things are not emphasizing the fact that you're still not going to avoid probate completely. So I hope that's helpful, and if it sounds like I'm up on a soapbox, well, I probably am, and I hope that you found this helpful, Steve.
John, you've been very, very helpful. I appreciate your professional opinion and your kindness here. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for a topic that is of interest to a lot of our listeners. So you've given us an opportunity to spread some information that others will benefit from also. Thank you, Steve. Take care now.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye. All right. Good call there on several different topics, and we will follow up on more of that if you wish. The phone number is 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. I have to tell you that if you do not have an attorney and need some legal advice or legal assistance, please consider the not-for-profit lawyer referral service operated by the Hartford County Bar Association. Now, there's nothing unique about this. There's a whole bunch of them across the country, but it is a tremendous alternative to hiring a lawyer because you saw his or her billboard or because the person sitting on the bar stool next to you said, hey, I got great results from this person. You ought to try him. This is the way it works. You phone them at the number that I'm going to give you in just a moment. They'll take your call and they will ask you a couple of questions to determine the specific nature of your legal issue. You then get referred to an attorney who has been vetted. What does that mean? Number one, that they are experienced in the area of the law which your topic involves. Number two, they are insured. Number three, they are free of disciplinary problems. So that's who you get referred to. So the two questions are always, what do I get and what does it cost? You get a half-hour consult with the attorney, and it can be in the attorney's office. It can be over a Zoom type of arrangement. It can be over the telephone. It's whatever you and the attorney decide you want to do. Okay? At the end of that half hour, no further obligation whatsoever. No hard sell about additional services or anything of that sort. And if the two of you decide that further services are appropriate and needed, you're free to discuss that with each other and go forward or not. No problem. Now, there's a couple of exceptions. If you're calling about your personal injury case, you're banged up, they're going to waive the cost. It's a one-time only $35 fee, by the way. But if you got a personal injury claim, no fee for you. If you have a workers' compensation claim, ditto, no fee for you. And one more category, they'll waive the fee if you're calling about a Social Security disability claim. Every one of these involve rights of people that are injured or have other matters of that nature, and that's why they waive the fee. So here's how you reach them. You reach them at 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. It is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. It's a good deal. It's a lot better than finding a lawyer in one of the other fashions that I described before. And if you call them, mention that you heard it here on Law Talk. We're always glad to know that we can help them out, help people out by referring them also. So that's 860-525-6052. 525-6052 for the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. We have to take a break, and then we're going to get back with Martin on his phone call, and room for a call or two more after that at 860-522-WTIC. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and you're listening to WTIC News Talk 1080, WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be serving.
Okay, well, welcome back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's a gorgeous day, and that's only one of the reasons why we had a little bit of Beach Boys there. We've got a segment coming up about beach law, and we're going to get to that shortly. But first, we're going to take care of Martin, who's on the phone and holding on with the property line issue. Hi, Martin. Are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes.
Good afternoon. And tell us more about your issue and tell us how we can help you.
Okay, a few years ago, I had a border dispute with a neighbor, so I had my property surveyed.
Okay.
And we both agreed, and that settled the dispute. But now that I have my property marked out, it raises a couple of other questions. For example, across the front, the sidewalk is not on my property. The markers, the front corner markers, are in the front lawn, and the sidewalk is beyond that.
Yeah.
So why am I responsible for maintaining and clearing the sidewalk if it's not on my property?
That's a great question. I've never considered that, but let's see if we can chew that over and come up with some advice here. For the benefit of all of our listeners and property line, I won't say disputes, I'll say uncertainties are not at all uncommon. Martin, you did exactly the right thing by getting a survey. And on top of that, both of you apparently agreed with the results of the survey. We have one case going on now where there are competing surveys and the two surveyors did not agree with each other. So you can see that that's different. But that survey established where the boundary line was for you. And sometimes that comes as a great surprise to one party or the other because of the fashion in which the property's been used. So what I'm understanding here now is that the sidewalk that you thought was on your property is actually on the property of your neighbor. Is that correct?
No.
Tell me again. Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah. The sidewalk is between my property line and the street.
Okay.
So whose property is it, and why am I responsible for maintaining that sidewalk? Does it belong to the city? Does the city have a right-of-way across the front of my property?
Yeah, generally speaking, cities have ordinances which impose the responsibility for ice and snow removal upon the adjacent property owner. I believe that's the case. You're calling from Hartford, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that that's the case in Hartford also. So I don't think it's a state law. I think it's an ordinance, but it's a very widely used ordinance. Now, that pertains to ice and snow. As far as whether or not the sidewalk is broken or whether or not it needs to be repaired for any reason, you know, there's a big tree next to it. The roots grew underneath it. They raised up a flagstone and it made it unsafe. That's a different question, and it's typically the city's responsibility. So let me ask you this, Martin. When you and your neighbor had this survey done and you've agreed upon where the boundary line was it quite a bit different from what you had expected?
Yes, it okay. was 3 to 4 feet in places. Yeah.
Okay, so at that case, a lot of people go to the neighbor and say, well, you know, look, I got a shed that's partially on your property. How about you sell me some property so I don't have to move the shed? And when it's peaceful and reasonable, people are dealing with each other, stuff like that happens. Did you guys have to do anything like that about changing the deed descriptions at all?
No,
okay.
Nothing like that.
So that's a little bit easier. Well, the question you're asking is about whether you're liable for the sidewalk portion of it, which is not on your property, but on your neighbor's property. The answer is going to be technically no. However, the city may not appreciate the nuances of where the line actually is. So I think mm-hmm. the best thing to do is to reach an agreement with your neighbor and say, you know, to the extent that there's any liability that either one of us have here, let's work out some kind of a deal to make sure that we keep the sidewalk safe for passersby and keep us from getting in any kind of trouble with it.
Right. But, you know, now that I know where the markers are and they marked the neighboring properties across the front, the sidewalk isn't on his property either.
Okay.
It's between the front of our line and the street. So, okay. Well, one other issue, speaking of things being over the line, I discovered on the other side of the property that my garage wall, which is way in the back corner of the property, is actually over the line.
Yeah.
Now, this property has been in the family for 65 years. The neighbor on the other side never said anything about it, probably doesn't even realize it. They didn't have their property surveyed when they bought it. So could that be an issue for me in the future if I ever decide to sell the house?
Oh, very much so. And I'm sort of sitting here with a little smile because in the many years I've practiced, I've run into this situation fairly frequently. It is not at all uncommon when a survey is actually done to discover that somebody's patio or sometimes actually a building encroaches upon someone else's property. So that could be a problem for you because when you go to sell the property in the future, you're going to have to answer questions on a property disclosure form, and they have to be answered honestly because they're given to prospective buyers by a real estate agent. And there are questions on there about have there ever been any issues with any of the boundary lines? And if so, please describe. So you do have to do that. The best way to deal with that is to go to the neighbor whose property is involved and say, I'd like to buy some additional property from you starting at this point and see if they're willing to do that for a very, very nominal sum. That way you can get it fixed. That way it's not going to be a problem when it comes time to sell the property. So people have to do that. And if you're lucky, you'll find a neighbor who says, yeah, you pay for the survey and have some lawyer draw the description and I'll sign the deed. And, you know, that'll be it. If you get somebody who's pretty avaricious and has dollar signs in their eyeballs, you're going to be in for a big fight over what the reasonable cost of that is. I actually have this case going on right now in Farmington with two neighbors, and one of them has encroached upon the other one's property without realizing it. And so the question is down to, okay, how much are we going to pay you for the, I think it's 20 or 25 feet, because these are very large lots, that encroaches, because he does have some improvements to the property that are technically on the other side. So
right.
These are not uncommon issues.
We're talking maybe 6 inches, the thickness
okay.
of the wall. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
You've got one other thing I want to mention also because it may pop up. There's a legal doctrine called adverse possession. And what it says is if you use someone else's property – openly and visibly, and if you got your garage there, it's plenty visible, without their formal consent. After, in Connecticut, it's 15 years, and some other states it's different, like Maine is 20 years, that the property becomes yours. But you need to get that done in a declaration in court. So I'd say, you know, go ahead and see if you can straighten it out informally and very, very inexpensively, because otherwise it's going to become an issue when you go to sell the property. And in my experience, nothing gets cheaper. As time goes on, we don't end up paying less for anything than we did before. We end up paying more. So yep. That's what I got, Martin. And tell me if that gives you any further questions that I can help you with.
One more quick question, if I may?
You bet. Go right ahead.
Okay. The back of my property, there's a parking lot. And when the surveyor did, and there's a fence separating my property from the parking lot. When the surveyor did the survey, he put a surveying nail in the pavement just beyond the fence, maybe a foot beyond the fence, and said, okay, that's your corner in the parking lot.
Okay.
Okay. The parking lot was recently torn up and repaved, and of course, the contractor didn't know that there was a surveying mark there.
Yeah.
So it got moved, destroyed, you know, and repaved. Who's responsible now for replacing that marker?
Wow. Excellent question. I think that these haven't been resolved very often in court because the cost of doing so is probably much greater than the cost of just having it resurveyed and somebody paying to have a new surveyor put that same surveyor's marker or nail into that same location. I think that you could always claim that the contractor was negligent, but he needs to know that it was there. I mean, you can make the claim, and it's not a frivolous claim at all, but I think he has defenses that say that, well, it wasn't visible, it wasn't readily apparent, and I had no idea that it was there, or I would have taken appropriate precautions. So
yeah,
there's no real good answer, but I think it's worth a try. And what you would be best advised to do is to find out what a surveyor would charge to go out there and redo it. If you had a paper survey done before, then it should be real simple, or a Mylar, because they can just track the survey and go out and put the pin there. If the one was not done, then they've got to do a little more research, and they've got to shoot some new lines and stuff like that. But I think that you're going to need that in order to quantify what the claim is against the paving contractor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wish you good luck with that, and I hope you pursue it, because I'd love to hear from you at a later show as to how it turns out.
All right.
Okay, thanks very much for your call, Martin.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye now. All right. That music is my cue to tell all of you that another Law Talk has come to an end. And to say my thanks, first of all, thanks to all of you that have called and shared your legal issues with us, and in doing so, allowed us to help others that are listening. Thanks also to the rest of you that have listened, because we very much value our listening audience and are very happy to try to help out on these Saturdays if we can. Thanks especially to Kevin Corza, my in-studio producer. He is the smiling guy who answers the phone when you give us a call and makes the show run. Me, I'm attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. And as they say, we'll see you next week.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.